Ephesians chapter 6, please. You know, over the last number of, I guess, about a month and a half now, we've been looking at parents' responsibilities in the lamenting series on the home. Well, tonight I want to look at the child's responsibility. So all you children in here, pay attention. Now, that would include all of us, of course, because, well, maybe it won't include everyone, but I want to apply it this way. Not only does this passage of Scripture deal with children, it deals with us as Christians as a child of the Father, right? We're a son of God. So the principles that I'm going to preach to the children directly, indirectly, would apply to every single Christian here as a child of God. These same characteristics is how we're to respond to our Heavenly Father. Okay? So there's more than one way. But all you kids, that would include college kids. If you're not married, this directly applies to you. Okay? If you're not married, it directly applies to you. And you'll understand why I say that before I'm finished. So do I have the attention of all the kids? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." Three very important verses. Every child should learn them early in life and learn to live them early in life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We pray, Lord, that you would take these verses and apply the principles not only to the life of every child here, but, Father, every single one of us that is a son of God. We pray, Lord, you'd help and strengthen us, take these principles and work in our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. When it comes to children and parenting, how should a child respond to the parents? Now, may I say that I understand that many parents do a poor job. Just because you're a parent doesn't mean you do a good job. Because I see the result of a lot of bad parenting. And that is, the result of bad parenting is disobedient children. And I see a lot of it. I mean, as we go out into the public places, we see kids in the floor kicking and screaming and pitching all kind of fits. That's the result of bad parenting. That child is just being a child. You know? But here in these verses, it gives us at least three things that I want us to see tonight concerning how a child is to respond to his parents. As a child, you should have these three responses. Number one, you should have the response of obedience. Verse number one, it says, "Children, obey." Now, the word obey here is an imperative. It's a continuous action imperative. In other words, this is to always be true of a child. And of course, this should be true of a child that does not obey. He should receive discipline. A child that is disobedient and is not disciplined is not only showing the child is being disobedient to God, but the parent is being disobedient to God as well. Now, I want that to soak in on everybody. When a child is being disobedient, that child is being disobedient to God, and the parent is being disobedient to God to allow that to continue. But here we see this. Now, notice the word obey. It's an interesting word when you look at it. Now, it means a number of things. One, it can mean and can be applied to this. Somebody knocks on your door, what do? You answer the door. That's exactly what this word means. It also means to hear one's request or to grant one's request. And it applies a readiness to hear. It literally means to hear under. To hear under. In other words, to completely hear. You put yourself in a place where you are going to hear. And when someone that's your parent, or we could apply these principles to authority figures as well. But a parent specifically, when a parent starts speaking, child, you are to listen. It's not that you're not to pay any attention. When your parent speaks, you should purposely, willfully listen more than you would to anyone else. That's because that's what this word means. It means to completely hear. To completely hear, you take that and apply that. That equals obedience. Doing what you have been completely told to do. So we see this word here. Now, the first thing I want you to see when it comes to this response of obedience and this idea of its meaning is the realm of the obedience. You say, what you talking about, the realm of the obedience? Look back in the verse. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. You've got to put obedience into the realm of obedience to God. If you do not put your obedience in the realm of being obedience to God, you're a whole lot more likely to be disobedient. When you realize that your accountability for your obedience to your parents is ultimately to God, not just to your parents. Yes, your parents, if you do not obey them, can give you a spanking or discipline you somewhat, some way, but ultimately you'll be held accountable for your obedience as a child of your parents by God Himself. And that's, you know, people don't usually think of, children don't usually think about their obedience that way. But all the kids in this room tonight, if you're old enough to understand what I'm saying, you're old enough to understand that one day you're going to give account to God for the way you obey your parents. It says here, in the Lord. So that's the realm of your obedience. Now I think we need to understand something about obedience. Obedience is not natural. Children are not born with an inherent thought, I'm going to be obedient to my parents. Now what are they? They're born with a rebellious nature, aren't they? They're born with a fallen nature, aren't they? Aren't we all born with a fallen nature? In Adam, we all fail. Yes. So every child is born with that type of thing. Now, obedience must, involves three major things, I think. Obedience involves, number one, hearing. We've already pointed out that. I want you to hold your place here and go with me to Proverbs chapter 4. We're going to do a little run and help here in the book of Proverbs when it comes to this idea of obedience. Proverbs, and notice, please, chapter number 4 and verse number 1. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to know and understand, and again, hear. Notice verse number 20 in this same chapter. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Notice, please, chapter 23 of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 23. Notice verse number 19. 23, 19. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh, and I could go on. Verse number 22, hearken unto thy father. That's another way of saying, listen to your father, hear your father. All these verses down here would point to that type of thing. Now, in between there, it gives things, specific things that you're supposed to get by listening or hearkening. So what's my point? My first point is, obedience involves, number one, hearing. If you do not hear, you can't be obedient. Have you ever... I have. This has happened to me. I did what I thought I heard. How many of you have ever gotten in trouble by doing what you thought you heard? Yes. I've done that with my wife. I thought I heard something out of my wife. I did it and it was not the right thing. And then it was, you weren't listening to me, were you? What do you say when you're asked a question like that as a husband? Yeah, I mean, obedience involves hearing. We must hear if we're going to be obedient. Otherwise, we'll only be partial, or we could be disobedient because we thought we heard something we didn't when we weren't really paying attention, children. So, well, again, when parents start speaking, children, you should perk up. Your ears should, you know, turn up your whatever needs to be turned up in order to receive the instruction. Make sure that you hear it. The second thing that obedience involves is not only hearing but heeding. Notice chapter 6 of Proverbs. You're still there. Notice verse number 20 in chapter number 6. 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Heeding, obeying. Again, the applying. Go backwards to chapter 4 and verse number 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. Again, that is obedience. Now, the father is given the instructions. Chapter 4 started off with, hear ye children, and it continues this. So we see a heeding, an applying is involved. Notice chapter number 3 and verse number 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Notice chapter 1 in verse number 10, Proverbs. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. And this, of course, this is just a few sampling of many, many, many more verses in the book of Proverbs that we could read to you tonight about the heeding or the applying of what they heard from their parent. So we see two aspects, obeying, heeding, and then number 3 is helping. Now, I said earlier that obedience is not a natural quality of a child. The natural quality of a child is disobedience. Therefore, obedience must be taught and must be enforced before obedience becomes that which is the common practice of a child. And even then, when it becomes the common practice of a child, every now and then it still has to be enforced again. It has to be helped along again. Why? Because, you know, a kid can develop an obedient nature because he knows if he doesn't, that he's going to get helped. But then, even then, every now and then, that stubborn, rebellious nature, and he will refuse to do when he knows he should do what he's supposed to do. And we parents then have to come back after we thought, well, I thought I'd taken care of that. Then you have to come back and help them along again, right? Parents, didn't that fall through in all of us lives? Yes. It happened to us. And as parents, we have to do that. But obedience involves hearing, heeding, and helping. A chronically disobedient child shows bad parenting. Let me say that again. Chronically disobedient children shows bad parenting. I ran across something really unusual in the last couple of weeks. I've been reading some stuff. And a new child psychologist has put forth a new disorder. It's very popular now in the public circles. It's called ODD, O-D-D. You know what it's called? You know what ODD stands for? Oppositional Defiant Disorder. Listen, every child on the face of the earth is born with ODD. Oppositional Defiant Disorder. All my three kids were born with it. All nine of my grandkids have been born with it. I remember having it. I still have it from time to time. And you do too. We have it. But obedience. If you're in Proverbs, look in chapter 30. Notice a disturbing verse. Proverbs 30, verse number 17. The eye that mocketh at his father and despises to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. You say you believe that literally is going to take place? And I think that is a way of describing the awful type of thing that's going to happen to a child that is disobedient. The end result is destruction. Our prisons are full of people this morning that have been disobedient to their parents, and their disobedience to their parents because their parents were bad parents. I heard the result of a survey the other day that over 85% of all incarcerated people in this country have fathers that they hate. Over 85% of them. That's an amazing statistic. That shows me that there was bad parenting taking place. The parents involved in those prisoners did not help them along to an obedient position. Listen, again, as a child of God, I know that I have a sin nature. And I am thankful that my Heavenly Father rebukes me when I'm disobedient. I am thankful that He disciplines me when I am disobedient. And I'm thankful that He brings me back to a place where He works in my heart to get me back into right relationship with Him. I thank God for that. That shows me He loves me. And a parent that will not discipline their kid when a kid is disobedient shows that they do not love their child. Because the Bible plainly says if you love your child, you will discipline him betimes or early. Remember, we dealt with that before. But we see the first response of children should be a response of obedience. The second thing I want you to see is in this response of obedience is not only the realm of that obedience, but number two, the reason that's involved. Here in this, back in Ephesians chapter 6, you see the reason given here. Now, before I go to that, let me say something else about obedience. If I want my children, my grandkids, to be obedient. You know, one of the best ways for me to help them to come to the attitude of obedience is not just a spanking and discipline. That's one way. That's not necessarily the best way. The best way is for them to see me obeying God. For them to see me fulfilling my responsibilities as a father, as a husband. They should see me loving my wife. You know, your sons and your daughters will never grow up to really to have an obedient attitude until they see you as the husband loving their mother. And when they see the mother sweetly submitting back to the father, they then see the two basic relationships in their life that shows and mimics and exhibits to them obedience to God. And when a child sees that, then chances are they're going to, with the help of the parents in the other areas of discipline, will bring that child to a place of obedience like that child should, because he sees his examples being obedient. I don't care how much you whip your kids. If they never see you modeling obedience, they will not grow up to be obedient. You can just forget it. They'll grow up and rebel against that because they see the two primary individuals that's supposed to model obedience to them being hypocrites. And they will not be obedient themselves. But we see the first idea of the response of obedience is the realm. It's unto the Lord. Back in Ephesians chapter 6, you see the sex saying, for this is right. The reason is, for it's right. The word right here literally means righteous, or it means the fulfillment of an obligation. Now, one thing that I grew up learning real quick, that when I did right, I felt good about it. How many of you, when you do right, you feel good about it? Now listen, I don't do right because I feel good. But I feel good after I do right. I learned a long time ago, when I choose to do right because it's the right thing, feelings always comes and puts its arm around me. I want you to get that. When I do right because it's the right thing to do, feelings always comes and puts its arm around me. And if I choose to be obedient based on my feelings, I'm not obedient. That's the reason why I said this morning, a lot of times people's feelings is their authority and not the Word of God. The Word of God has got to be our authority. And it tells you, children, to obey your parents, for it is right. It is the right thing to do. By the way, your obedience to your parents is not dependent upon your parents. Shouldn't be. It doesn't have to be. And ultimately, you will be held accountable for your obedience. And your parents will be held accountable for their parenting. You cannot, as a child, justify your disobedience because your parents doesn't parent you correctly. I know how that feels because I was raised with a parent that my father did not parent me properly. And I know how it feels to be told to do something when the authority telling you to do something is a terrible example. I know how that feels. I know the bitterness that comes from that. But that's, you know, God's taken me past that, thank the Lord. I know those feelings, but feelings are, again, are, that's not our authority, is it? No. Why the response of obedience? Number one, because it's in the realm of the Lord. Number two, because it is simply right. It is simply right. So the first aspect here of this is right. The approval of being right. I like the approval of being right. I like to be right. You like to be right. Second thing, turn over to Colossians chapter 3. It's a few pages to your right. Here in Colossians chapter 3, we see a second reason for obedience to parents. Notice verse number 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Now, well-pleasing unto the Lord. So the reason for obedience, first of all, the approval of right. Number two, the acceptableness to the Lord. This word here that's translated in verse number 20, well-pleasing, is about 15 other places in the New Testament translated acceptable. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2 is translated acceptable in both of those places. Then in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 18, it's translated in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 21, it's translated pleasing. So the pleasing, acceptable, well-pleasing. So another reason for being obedient to your parents, children, is because it is acceptable to the Lord. Now that would stand to good reason when you understand that the realm of your obedience is directly to the Lord as well. So we see here the reason why of obedience. Now we should desire to please the Lord more than anyone else, shouldn't we? Shouldn't we? Children, you should obey, you should desire to please the Lord more than anyone else. And I'm thoroughly convinced that if we please the Lord, I really don't think, children, if you please the Lord, you will not have a problem pleasing the parents that's in this room tonight. If you please the Lord. Matter of fact, if you choose to please the Lord, it's going to tickle the parents that's in this room. I mean, they're going to be happy with you. So we see the response of obedience, first the realm, secondly the reason, number three. Notice what I, in verse number 20 again, chapter 3, what I call the reach of this obedience. Verse number 20. Children, obey your parents in all things. That's the reach of the obedience. But, Pastor Kent, what about this? It says, in all things. Now, there's only one exception here. And it's the same exception that I put forth when I was teaching that wives are to be in submission to their own husbands. And that is, if the husband would tell the wife to do something sinful, if the father or the mother would tell you to do something that's clearly sinful, then the reach of your obedience would stop right there. Why? Because it would violate a principle of God's word where we obey God rather than man. But the reach of your obedience other than that is in all things. Doesn't say if you like it. Doesn't say if you want to do it. Doesn't say if it gets you dirty. None of that applies. The reach of your response of obedience is in all things. The second thing I want you to see tonight, go back to Ephesians. Now we see that you should have the response of obedience. Number two, you should have the respect of honoring. Verse number two, the respect of honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Now, just as obey in verse number one was an imperative, the word honor as well is an imperative, a command. It is a present tense, an ever continuous truth. We are to continuously honor our parents. Now, hold your place here in Ephesians and go with me, please, to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. I will also read from Deuteronomy chapter number 5. But Exodus 20 and verse number 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now there, and as in Deuteronomy 5 and verse number 16. Now verse number 16 of Deuteronomy adds a little bit of thought to it. It says, honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may be well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now the quotation here in Ephesians chapter 6 is from the Deuteronomy passage. And I just read in those two passages the fifth of the tenth commandments. The fifth of the ten. So we see here that this verse 2 where it says to honor, that he is quoting, if you will, then, one of the Ten Commandments. And he has given some commentary with it, if you will. But the word honor, this continuous action command here, children, it means to set a high price on. It means to estimate the value of. It means to honor. It means to revere. It means to respect. And that's my point, the respect of honoring. You know, honor will change from forced obedience. When you honor your parents, honor will change your forced obedience to free obedience. And let me explain what I mean. A lot of children are forced to obey with the help that parents give them. But as kids come to a place where they honor their parents, it will stop the parent from having to force that child to be obedient, because the child will stop and evaluate the worth of a parent. And all of a sudden, his obedience will become free of attitude, where he will want to obey because he has estimated the value of the father. Sad to say about that, it usually takes place when the child gets out of the home, the parents are older, and where the children get to the place where, as we talked a number of weeks ago, when they start eulogizing their parents, where they realize what parents are worth. I wish I'd had enough sense to realize the worth of my father years before I did. And I would say everybody in this room probably has the same attitude. If you don't have that same attitude, you're not to the place of honoring your parents yet, where you respect them because of who they are as God has placed them in your life. You might not like what they do. You might not like the way they parent. But nonetheless, they're your parents. They have been placed there by a sovereign God. You know, I've thought many times since I've become a Christian about my hard-nosed daddy and the different things that he did that, of course, I did not take as my example for raising my children. But I thought many times from the sovereign hand of God, maybe that's all I needed is the hard-headed kid that I was. You know? As a hard-headed kid, God knew that that's the kind of dad that I needed. Otherwise, there's no telling how rebellious I would have been. But the respect of honoring my father, my parents, it's commanded right here. Honor thy father and thy mother. Give them that value. Show a high regard for them. You know, may I say to us all, I don't think that nursing homes and the welfare system of the day does away with our responsibility to honor our parents. And I think there's a lot of people sticking their parents in nursing homes or just relinquishing their parents to the welfare system. You know, my wife has worked in a nursing home. And there's people in nursing homes whose nobody ever comes to see those people. It's out of sight, out of mind. There's no honoring of parents with that type of... Just stick them in there and get them out of your thinking. That's ungodly behavior. We have a responsibility to help take care of them. May I read a couple of verses out of Proverbs again. Proverbs chapter 23. One verse here and then I'll move to somewhere else. Proverbs 23 and verse number 22. It says, Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Renee and I went over Friday, I guess it was. We went up to see my mom for a little while. Then we went down to see her dad. And her dad and a couple of friends were getting ready to go out to eat. And we went into the restaurant. Here's, you know, four people other than Renee and me. Three of them were in their 80s, and one of them was in her late 70s. And they got behind some other older folks, and the other older folks were going real slow. And one of the 80-year-olds that we were with laughingly turned and said, I hope people will be patient with me when I get old. And I spoke up and said, I am being. But you know, when people get old, when it comes to children, it says, despise them not. Over in Mark chapter number 7, notice what it says there. Mark chapter number 7. Interesting passage of Scripture. The Lord rebukes a bunch of Pharisees here in Mark chapter number 7. Notice what it says in verse number 9. Mark 7, 9. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curses father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father and mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. Now, the Corban was something they supposedly dedicated to God. He said, no, I can't use my money to help take care of you in your old age. I've dedicated this to God. In other words, but the interesting thing about this dedicated, this Corban, was they didn't give it to God until they died. But they couldn't use what they had to take care of an old father or mother. No, I can't use that, Dad, to take care of you in your old age. And I've dedicated that to God. That's hypocrisy at its best. And Christ is rebuking them for it. And he said, you full well know what you're doing. That's what he says there in verse number 9. I don't care what you call it. No, Dad, that's in my 401k. Can't take that out to help take care of you. You're robbing God by not taking care of your parents the way you're supposed to take care of your parents. He said, no, Dad, that's in my, I can't take it out of my retirement. No, 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 no. We do the same thing. We just call it something other than Corban. Notice 1 Timothy chapter number 5. 1 Timothy chapter number 5. Two places here, two verses. Verse number 4, 1 Timothy 5, 4 it says, "But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show pity at home and to requite their parents." The word requite there literally means to recompense or to repay. In other words, it's based on the principle you need to consider all the food and the housing and things that your parents did for you when you were young. Now that they're old and they need your help, you're to recompense it to them. You know, most of us in this room could take care of our parents 18 years before they became into our debt. They did take care of us, almost everybody in here, for at least 18 years, right? Right? Yeah. What if they need our to take care of them for 18 years? According to that verse, we're to do it. Notice verse number 8. "But if any provide not for his own, and special for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." Why do we always just apply that to me and my four and no more? It goes beyond that. It goes to mom and dad that may be old and may need our help to take care of them. It comes to the respect of honoring the parents. So we see two things tonight. We've seen that children should respond with obedience. Number two, should have the respect of honoring. And number three, back in verse number 2 and 3, we see a third thing here. It's what I call the result of a promise. "Honor thy father and the mother," which is the first commandment, "with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." Now again, that verse number 3 is the Holy Spirit's interpretation of Deuteronomy 5:16. Two aspects of this, the result of a promise. Number one, there will be a prospering living. Notice what it says. "That it may be well with thee." That word "that" there literally is "with the result that it may be well with thee." And the word "well" here means this. It means to be well off. It means to be fair, to prosper. It means pleasing. It means to do good. Sort of interesting. It says that it may be well with, that it may be prosperous with thee. If you honor your parents like you're supposed to honor and obey your parents, God's given you a promise, and the result of that promise is a prospered lifestyle. You show me a bum on the streets, and I show you somebody that has not honored their parents. You say, "Do you think there may be an exception to that?" I doubt it. The first aspect of it is prosperous living. Number two, it says in this verse, "Thou mayest live long on the earth." Prolong life. Prolong life. I have a couple of verses in Proverbs, I think, that would speak to this as well, that we need to look at. Chapter number 3. Proverbs chapter number 3. Notice, please, verse 1 and 2. We read 1 a few minutes ago. Now let's add verse 2 with it. "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." Prolong life. I mean, I've never found anybody yet that I've talked to that said, "You know, I'm ready to check out and I want to go today." I've not found anybody that wants to do that. Everybody that I ever have talked to has wanted to live as long as they could live. And here is a promise. When you obey and honor your parents the way you're supposed to obey and honor them, you are promised a prosperous living and you're promised a prolonged life. Notice chapter 4 and verse number 10. "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many." Now, I think the writer of Proverbs, as led by the Spirit of God, took these thoughts from Deuteronomy 5:16. The result of listening to parents and having the right attitude of honoring and obeying leads to a prolonged life. Now, my conclusion is this. The obedience to parents will cease. You say, "Wait a minute, what do you mean?" Yeah, the obedience to parents will cease when you become an adult and you're married yourself. You know, when I got married, I never had to think about doing everything my daddy said. I had my own household, my own wife. But, you know, even then, I'd go back up to my dad sometime, and we'd be doing something, say we'd plant in the garden or digging potatoes or something like that. And if my daddy looked at me and said, go down there and get a shovel, I went and got a shovel. Why? I was so conditioned in obedience by that time. It was not a, hey, Dad, you know, I'm my own man. You go get your own job. I would not have dared said that to my dad. I have a sneaking suspicion that if it had been an arm length of me and if I'd have said something like that, I'd have got the same thing I'd gotten as a boy. Matt, oh, okay, Dad, I'll go. Yes, sir. But it would never have crossed my mind to disobey him in something like that. Now, what I'm talking about, you know, he'd sit down, now, you need to go, you need to do this at 7 o'clock in the morning. I never had to think about that as I got a, as I became an adult and was married. But my honoring continued. My honoring continued. So our obedience will cease when we become, but our honoring should never cease. And by the way, when it comes to our relationship to our Heavenly Father, our obedience and our honoring should never cease. I know a lot of Christians that obey the Lord in a lot of things, but they don't honor the Lord in a lot of things. So you can be obedient to the Lord in a lot of things without honoring Him the way you should, and the difference will be you won't worship very much. Honoring will always lead you to the feet of the Lord in worship. And I can guarantee you one thing. All of you younger folks, I can guarantee this. When your dad is laying in his deathbed, and you're sitting there beside of him, holding his hand, and you know it's just going to be hours before he's gone, you're going to wish you honored him more. Guarantee. How should children respond to their parents? Number one, respond with obedience. Number two, with the respect of honoring, with the result being a promise. Father, we thank you tonight for your goodness.